I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning and welcome. Good to see you this morning. It's good to be together. We want to welcome those who are joining us through live stream this morning, hoping that they get a chance to quickly pour another coffee while I'm doing the introduction. It's an extraordinary story today. Some want you to believe that Jesus happened to be on the beach, happened to see the disciples, happened to have a conversation. But that's not our experience of Jesus. Jesus is intentional. He goes looking for us. We think we're looking for him. And we think that's quite a struggle. But he's looking for us. And he encounters us in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of places. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the opportunity to hear your word. Amen. So Jesus shows up, as he often does for us. And he's watching a group of the disciples, and they're out fishing. There had been a conversation before he got there, and Peter had declared, there's nothing else to do, let's go fishing. And times past when I was growing up, fishing was a great big deal. That's how you got time with Dad. Fishing. It was one of the few times you didn't get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. There you stood with a fishing rod for hours. It was different when you got in a boat. You could get in trouble if you were in a boat. I recall the day that Dad decided that we would go fishing in a rubber dinghy and that this was safe. And he put me in the back, which means it's not my fault because I wasn't supervised. And apparently, if you're in the back, you sort of function as a rudder, guiding the direction of the rubber dinghy with one hand and a fishing hook and pole in the other. And have you got a sense of where this is going? This is about halfway through what seemed like at least 40 days and 40 nights in the rubber dinghy. And at one point, he said, sharp left, and apparently the rubber dinghy was heading towards a really sharp boulder coming out of the water. And he said, go left, and the rudder, for whatever reason, went right. And the paddle went that way, and the rubber dinghy went that way, and I went that way, and Dad went straight down. When he came to the surface, he was blowing bubbles, but I think I heard what he said. Boats can be dangerous places. They can be extremely dangerous if you're in the middle of a lot of frustration and tension, if there's been a tough time already before you got in the boat. And that was the case with the disciples today. They'd been having a tough time. Jesus had rose from the dead, but where was he now? And what are we supposed to do with what we know? And where are we supposed to go? And Peter had an answer, let's go fishing. And the rest of the disciples joined him. And there they were out in the boat. And Jesus arrives on the beach, sees them, and waits. Did you know that when Jesus encounters you, he waits? He waits for you to recognize it's him. That's a tough thing. We don't always recognize Jesus when he shows up for us. And so he waited. And he waited, and he waited. And then John looks up, and he hears a comment. And I would never have done this. A whole bunch of grown men in a boat, and you yell out, didn't catch anything, eh? Seems like a dangerous thing to say. Throw your net on the other side. Can you imagine the response from that group of men? Having worked all night to try and catch fish, caught nothing, and some stranger on the shore, says, Try the other side. Here's the point. Take the tools you've already got and use them in a new way, and you'll succeed. Take the tools you've already got and use them in a new way, and you'll succeed. With the blessing of God. There's the kicker. With the blessing of God. And so they throw the nets, and what do you know it? They've got all kinds of fish. And they are amazed at the moment, and then they suddenly realize there's only one way this happened. That stranger is Christ. And then John turns to the rest of them and says, "It's the Lord." Now, John is kind of a process kind of person. So he announces it's the Lord with the understanding that everybody in the boat's going to ponder that thought for a little while. Well, what are we supposed to do with that? All right, we're out here. He's in there. The natural flow of things is we should paddle in and say hi. Let's do that. Let's get organized. Let's get prepared. And let's paddle in and say hi. And Peter says, "I don't think so." Jumps out of the boat, races to Christ, arrives on the beach, and Jesus takes one look at him and said, "You could have put your diaper back on." Peter's exuberant, enthusiastic, and ready to go. Now, some are going to assume that the point is that one is better than the other. But I need to present the contrast that you need both. You need John's quiet, calm, cool, collected thinkers, preparers, organizers, people that are willing to take their time to get into situations. And then you need the exuberant, enthusiastic Peters who say, "Hey, let's get going." It's the balance of the two. It's what we often refer to in this parish as the richness of your diversity. It's the balance of both that makes a healthy Christian community, healthy family. I've heard it language this way. It probably wouldn't be my choice of words, but I've heard some married couples described as the yin and the yang. I've heard siblings described as the same. I remember somebody recently ran into me, and they know my brother really well, and they said, "Who are you?" I said, "Oh, I'm Chris's big brother." "You two of you were raised in the same house?" We need both in the life of our families and in the church. So what happens next? Jesus invites them all to a barbecue, and he's prepared some fish and some bread, and they're eating together, and they are exuberant that they are encountering Christ at the table. It's on a beach, which, you know, I'd be okay with that maybe in 4 or 5 weeks. Maybe that's what we should do. Find ourselves a beach. Celebrate the Eucharist, enjoy each other on a beach. That's a great idea. Somebody needs to tell our social coordinators that that's a great idea. Where's Catherine?
I'm here.
Good luck. But there's a problem. Here's the moment. Jesus needs to have a conversation with Peter. Here's the history with Peter. Peter has denied Jesus 3 times. There's some tension between the two of them. There's some conflict between the two of them. Now, some would think that Jesus would walk up to Peter and say, "Shame on you. How could you have done that?" But that's not how Christ handles us when we make mistakes and are feeling ashamed. Instead, Jesus approaches us with compassion and understanding and clemency, unwarranted forgiveness. And says to Peter, "Do you love me?" Do you know when that phrase gets used more often than not? Between couples when there's a really big problem. "Do you love me? Did you ever love me? Could you love me in the future? It can happen with our kids too. 3:30 in the morning, you're waiting for the door to open. You have no idea where they are. And they walk through the door, and the experience goes a little like this. Hey, Dad. How's it going, dude? And you say, look, I understand you got to grow up and everything, but because we love and respect each other, we need to have new boundaries. New boundaries. It happens between colleagues. It happens between friends. There's that tension and that anxiety. And sometimes we even feel betrayed. But Jesus' example for us is to meet the other person with clemency, unwarranted forgiveness, an invitation to new relationship. Do you love me? And Peter responds with his pain and his shame and realizes that he is being accepted the way he is. Again, it doesn't matter who you were with, what you did, as long as you love him. Three closing points. Number one, this is all about love. We follow Jesus because we love him. We come here because we love him. It's not about the other person in the pew. It's not about who's at the front. It's not about who's on parish council. It's about Jesus. We love him. The second thing is that love isn't passive, it's active. It's love in action. And later in the service, you're going to be invited by our wardens to take some action in our broader community, to express love to those who are lacking food and clothing, those who are lacking housing. You'll be asked to take action in love. Last but not least, it's about forgiveness. And knowing that Jesus is coming looking for us every day. The truth is that I love this passage so much I could go another 20 minutes or so, but we both know better than that. Amen.